I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Voice of Hope, an expository Bible teaching program. Whether you're well-versed in the Bible or turning its pages for the first time, together we're learning to follow Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, one step at a time. This program is brought to you by Heralds of Hope, an international media ministry sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm so glad you joined us, because once again, we have something different planned. On June 2nd, we celebrated our 56th year of ministry, and we've been taking some time during the month of June to celebrate. 2 weeks ago, I, Anthony High, and our Bible teacher, J. Mark Horst, spent some time discussing the history of Heralds of Hope. Now this week, we would like to take the opportunity to share some of the plans for the future, and we have a special guest, Arlen Horst, joining us. Arlen is our Director of Development here at Heralds of Hope and is an integral part of the plans that we have going forward.
Part of our preparation for the future at Heralds of Hope was to find an executive director. And Anthony High, you came to fill that role. And so tell us briefly how you got here.
One Wednesday evening, it was back in 2019, the summer of 2019, I received a call from one of our board members, I believe it was Mark Neuswanger, and he asked me if I would consider joining Heralds of Hope as a director. And it was a bit out of the blue, as we say. And we didn't do much about it right away. We had some prior commitments that we were working on, and we wanted to take some time to pray about it, and we had a bit of time with our family that summer that we had planned, and so we took that time to consider it. We, of course, had several calls and some interviews with the search committee. We made our decision to accept the board's offer somewhere around the end of 2019, and then I began to attend some of the various meetings that were here during that first part of 2020 during COVID. Then our family moved to the area in July of 2020, and I think my first day here was July 20th, 2020.
What did you see in the organization that piqued your interest and that made you think, you know what, I might enjoy serving there?
I said the call was out of the blue, but God was already at work here. My wife and I, we felt strongly that God was calling us somewhere, but we had no idea where, and we had decided we wouldn't volunteer, we would wait to be asked. And so I wasn't sure if this was a new location or something new with where we were located already. And along the way, Bob Kaufman came to visit our church, and he gave a presentation about Heralds of Hope. And as you know, he'd very enthusiastic and emphatic about it. And I thought, you know, that would be an organization that I would enjoy working with. You know, how do you look at something like that and say, yeah, when there's no obvious opening or position to it? And so I just remember that as a passing thought. And I'm like, well, I guess, you know, I'll let it at that. And I guess you could say the rest is history.
Yeah, so history impacts the future. This program is about the future, but we have to have a little bit of background in order to see how that's working out. So as many of our listeners know, I've been here almost 30 years, till July it will be that, and I'm now 65 years old. And I told the board of directors here at Heralds of Hope that I would stay on if they wanted me that long until I'm 70, which takes us to December of 2028, roughly. And so Heralds of Hope has a five-year transition plan to find the next voice or voices for our Bible teaching programs. Tell us about that.
Back in 2022, I wrote out a timeline, what it looks like to move from where we were at today to where we'd be at with No J. Mark in 2028. And there were some details I missed and some things that we didn't hit along the way here.
Sure.
I know we talked about having a podcast to do some testing, and that didn't really happen. There were some other things that we did hit. Arlen here, our director of development, he started introducing the Hope for Today program, and we also changed the opening music to that as well. Originally wrote that we would start a second voice in the Voice of Hope last year, but that didn't happen until this year. And so there's some things we did miss along the way. But one of the things I quickly realized is that you don't change Bible teachers quickly or easily. There are some other ministries who went through this similar transition, and they're off the air because it just didn't work. It's not something that's real easily done.
So we've tossed this idea back and forth about more than one voice or Bible teacher for our programs. Comment on that for us.
Yeah, so the reality is, are we going to be able to find another 30-year person for this job? Like, Arlen, do you want to do this for 30 years?
Most likely not.
One of the solutions that we came up with is, could we do some sort of more conversational style where we have a consistent host and interchangeable teachers? And what I mean by that is you could have one person do a series on, say, Romans, and then someone else could do a series on Ruth or Jeremiah. But each program would have a consistent host like myself or J. Mark, and this would allow us to make smoother transitions down the road. It's also kind of a ploy to keep J. Mark going for a little longer than he planned. Just kidding.
Anthony, for the last several weeks, you've been doing the announcing, what we call the announcing, the intros and closings around the teaching on our broadcast, The Voice of Hope. And last week, you actually did the Bible teaching for the Father's Day program. And then Arlen, on our international broadcast, Hope for Today, you've been filling the role of announcer there. Both of you have teaching, preaching experience. Where do you think that fits in this process? Maybe you both can comment on that. Anthony.
This is where I think it would work for us to take turns in teaching the word. And so, yeah, we both have experience, and we both could come alongside and do that and pass the job back and forth, I guess you could say.
Before I started at Heralds of Hope, I was teaching at Fairview Christian School. So teaching has been a big part of my life, and I enjoy teaching, and I enjoy hearing good teaching. Our communities have been blessed with many good teachers, and if we can somehow harvest that moving forward, I think that'd be exciting.
The focus, though, would still stay on expository Bible teaching. We're not moving away from that. You know, that would still be our main thrust and our main drive. We wouldn't be going to a model where we just talk about anything and everything that comes along, but it would be focused on teaching, systematically teaching through the Word.
At Heralds of Hope, we have this 5-year transition plan thinking about the Bible teaching, but then the ministry also has a 10-year plan. Tell me a little bit about the goals of that plan and what kind of progress we're making. Arlen, you're involved in this a lot with the goal of a certain number of languages and a certain amount of Bibles. Comment on that.
Our 10-year goal is 1 million Bibles. And so you break it down, it's about 100,000 Bibles a year. And I've been involved with a lot of the communications with printing our Bibles and getting them delivered to the people on the field. You know, last year it was just over 100,000 Bibles, thank the Lord. And this year it looks like we're on track to reach our 100,000 Bible goal. So that part of our 10-year goal feels doable, printing Bibles, getting them delivered. Obviously, our goal of being efficient and doing it effectively, it's always changing. Just this month, we had partners in Nigeria who are now contributing towards the Bibles. Instead of Heralds of Hope totally funding the Bibles, we're now subsidizing the Bibles. And, you know, that's exciting to me to hear because that feels more sustainable long term. And they're getting some skin in the game because they're contributing to the cost of the Bibles. We are looking forward to doing that in the other countries where we've been distributing Bibles for many years.
Anthony, comment on the 200 languages.
So the other part of our 10-year plan is to be into 200 of the top languages of the world. Our vision statement has this phrase in it, to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. And there's a reason for that. We've done some research and found that 90% of the world's population speaks one of those top 200 languages. And so out of that, we've established this audacious goal, I guess you could say, of broadcasting in those top 200 languages, which in theory would enable us to reach 90% of the world's population. So obviously that's much greater than anything Heralds of Hope could do alone. But we feel that if we could connect and encourage 200 churches or businesses or individuals to get involved, we could help the local church then carry out the Great Commission of reaching the people. In other words, Heralds of Hope would be a tool for the local church to use in reaching the world. And that would be both across the street and around the world.
And the tool that we're using is, like, we call that broadcast adoption, where a church or individuals or a business will adopt the broadcast to a specific part of the world. And we are hoping that, you know, that this church or organization will know people or have missionaries on the ground in that area and then choose to adopt a broadcast there to help spread the gospel to that part of the world. With broadcast adoption, I think we're at about 50% of our broadcasts that are adopted, that are being supported by groups and churches reaching out to specific parts of the world. And that's exciting to see, because I believe the church is the hope of the world. If Heralds of Hope can be a tool to provide that connection, that would be exciting to see.
Right. And one of the things that, when you study mission work, the media, whether it's internet or radio, does not actually take the place of church. You can't do church online. I know you can try, but it really isn't church. So the purpose of the media ministry is to bring people into the church and connect them then with local believers who they can then fellowship with and establish a church. That would be the intent. And so we need to partner with the churches that want to reach out and then have them establish, you know, local churches.
So the broadcast adoption isn't the end goal. The broadcast adoption is just a tool to help the churches here engage with other parts of the world. And so after this broadcast goes to a specific area, then we're hoping more connection can be built and people from your church can possibly travel to that country or to that area and do ministry, help with Bible schools or pastors' conferences or mission work, however that looks for the specific group you're going to.
Okay, so those are some big goals, and it's been interesting to see how God is opening doors for us in connections with other individuals and organizations to actually facilitate this. But we also recognize that as this process moves forward, we're going to need more staff. And so tell us a little bit about what kind of people and what kind of skill sets we're looking for.
Yes, we are looking for people to join the team. But, you know, first of all, we're looking for people of character, people who love Jesus deeply and who share our values and beliefs. Right now, we're looking especially for a marketing strategist. And this sounds like we're just doing advertising, but it's more than that. We're looking for someone to help us use our content in a way that reaches people. We're realizing that the world is changing and radio doesn't work everywhere anymore. And so we need other ways through online and social media to reach people. And we could also use some help there with our donor communications as well. Secondly, we are planning on adding a broadcast development manager with this goal of 200 languages. We need someone to lead out in establishing those new broadcasts. And we're finding that takes quite a bit of work. When you begin a conversation like that, it can take a year from the time you establish the need and the avenue until you actually get everybody in place. At the time of this recording, we feel like we do have someone in place for that. And so there'll be more details coming later.
Well, we've seen a new level of excitement among our constituents, our donors. It seems they like what they see in the direction of the ministry. And I'm curious if that has translated into increased giving and also increased involvement.
Yeah, I would say it has. We certainly are blessed. We want to use everything that we have received faithfully and carefully. And one of the comments that I've received a number of times is that people appreciate that we're looking into the end results of our programs and double-checking them. In the past 2 years or so, we've tried to check up on the translation of some of our programs and the effect on the audience and in Bibles, whether the Bibles are actually getting to the right places. Unfortunately, the results have not always been desirable, and so we needed to make some corrections. Frequently, people respond with appreciation to that, and so there is a level of excitement there. There's also some things that we're seeing and correcting and trying to use those things faithfully. So it's exciting, but it's also challenging.
Yeah, Arlen, you've been involved in the auditing process of the radio programs, especially the international ones. Tell us just briefly a little bit about that.
Sure. When we audit a program, what we'll do is contact someone that we know who knows the language, whether it's Swahili, Mandarin, Arabic, and they will listen to the broadcast beside our English script and compare what they're saying in the original language with what our English script says to make sure the teaching going out is what we've given them. And so as we've done this, we've found numerous places where it wasn't the same or where they were teaching something other than we had given them. Been challenging, but it's been good for us.
Anthony, do you have any ideas about what the future might look like? You mentioned earlier that radio doesn't work, or I should say it that way, it isn't effective in some parts of the world. So what are some of the possible ways our Bible teaching content could be distributed going forward?
Yeah, we certainly live in a time of rapid change. And just an example of this, I did a little research on YouTube, and 19 years ago, YouTube.com became active. And then 2 years later, Google purchased it for $1.65 billion. And that was 17 years ago. I don't know what it's worth today. And now we have so much more that's out there. YouTube is just a household name, or you could even say a verb. Mm-hmm. You know, you're YouTubing. Yeah, so what we see is in some of these countries, they've gone from maybe shortwave straight into the internet age. And so there's a rapid jump. They go from that, you know, shortwave limited resource right into cell phones, and everybody has data and unlimited access. And so there's a sudden shift some places. And so, you know, can we be positioned on those platforms ready for them in their heart language where they can hear the gospel, they can hear the Bible teaching? My question is, what's after YouTube? Like, what comes next?
I would also add, Tony, that in the countries where cell phone access increases, the radio use decreases. Yeah. It's almost the same whether it's India, whether it's Europe, whether it's, or whatever the country. That pattern has been consistent.
Our mission statement says we will use media. And so that involves all forms of media, print, broadcast, digital, whatever. And we don't know what's coming yet, right? And so one of those is print, and that's the oldest. I mean, all right, thank Mr. Gutenberg. And so we use print. We have a Bible distribution program that is fairly significant. We already mentioned our goal of 1 million Bibles in 10 years. Arlen, this is kind of your bailiwick, as we say. So tell us what's happening on the Bible distribution front.
So in the Bible distribution side of the ministry, there's probably five main countries that we're distributing the Bibles to. Countries like Malawi, Kenya, and Guinea-Bissau, we're working with partners on the ground. And in those countries, we've actually printed the Bibles in those languages and had the containers shipped directly there. And so we're working with believers on the ground to distribute the Bibles to believers who don't have them or don't have access to the Bibles. And that's been encouraging. It's neat to see God's heart for His Word. And as I interact with people on both sides of the ocean, the people that give towards the Bibles and then the people that are receiving it, I think I have the neat spot because I get to see both sides of it, which is very encouraging to me. And I wish I could, you know, help everybody see both sides. I do somewhat with the pictures and things like that. But yeah, God's heart for His Word is incredible, and it's neat to be a part of the Word.
you mentioned about in Nigeria, about them helping to fund either the shipping or the purchase of the Bibles. I'm not sure which, but that's happening in other places as well. Tell us just a bit about that.
Right. So it is fairly new for Heralds of Hope, new direction, I would say, and we haven't made it happen everywhere yet. In Malawi is the other country that we're working towards that end goal. And we recently met a partner who was over in the United States. And so we chatted with him, and he is willing to facilitate the donation of funds on that side. So the pastors, fraternities, and groups will be giving the money to him, which he'll be keeping till the next Bible printing, and we'll use those funds to print the next round of Bibles. And so it's all very new. We're excited about it. Don't know a lot of the details yet, but it feels like we're going the direction we're supposed to be going.
Anthony, as we bring this toward a close, what can our constituents do that would be the most helpful as we go through this transition process? Or maybe I should say transition processes, because it's more than one going on.
Right. It feels like there's a lot going on right now.
And a lot of balls in the air, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm on a platform that keeps moving on me. I mean, that's good. It's also exciting. I don't know that I'd want it too stable or else I get bored. Well, first of all, pray. Prayer is the work. To quote O'Halesby, prayer is what speaks to the heart of God. And this is God's work. It's not ours. And he wants the work to go on in the world, whether that's with Heralds of Hope or not. But so pray. And Jesus specifically said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers. Secondly, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your comments and your responses to the new broadcasts that we put out. We've tried some things here in the month of June. Tell us what you think, good or bad. Let us know. We are finding our way with the roadmap that isn't clearly laid out for us. And so that doesn't mean we don't have a plan. That just means that the plan might change a few times till it gets settled. So hearing from you would be very helpful.
So there has been a bit of a paradigm shift in how we think about support. Arlen, maybe just give a few comments about that.
Yeah, I think this goes back to what we said earlier about Heralds of Hope being a tool for the church. Whereas in the past, it felt like Heralds of Hope was that organization that people donated to so they could get the word out and share the gospel with the world. With the switch, we would like to partner with churches or individuals and businesses that want to get the word to the world. How can we partner with them? It does represent a shift, a positive one, a great one, but it is a little bit of a change there.
That's something that you were pretty excited about when you came on. Seeing that kind of a shift.
Right. That's one of the things I got excited about when I was hired just about 3 years ago, exactly. Just the idea that we're coming beside the church. The church is God's answer for the problems in the world. And if we can build that organization and help that organization, I think it's a great thing.
One final question. Anthony, tell our constituency where they can find more information about our financial statements and perhaps our 990 or something like that.
Yeah, if you want to know more, you can certainly contact us directly. The contact information will be shared at the end. Our audited financial report and 990 for this past year has not been completed yet. We're still waiting on the accountants to finish that up. When that is completed, we will put a notification out there as to where you can download it or access it. And I would, encourage you to look into it. We're a nonprofit. We're open to inspection at any time.
So you and I have both mentioned this number, 990. What is that? A lot of people are asking that question. What's a 990?
A 990 is basically a tax return for a nonprofit. It doesn't mean we pay taxes. It just means that the IRS wants to know everything about your organization. And if you're familiar with your 1040 form, just imagine a form that's about three times as long. Now, I know there's an accountant out there that would correct me on how many pages it is, but trust me, it's a long form, and it's a lot longer than my 1040, I'll tell you that much.
All right, very good. Well, thank you both for joining us here in the studio today, and hopefully this will be informative for our listeners.
All told, it sounds like we have a lot of things going on right now, and we do. And we do feel a sense of urgency to assist the church to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. If you have any thoughts or comments, please contact us. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Again, that's hope@heraldsofhope.org. I invite you to connect with us on our various social media platforms by searching for Heralds of Hope. And if you go to our YouTube channel, you will notice some new activity there. You may even be able to see us. We have some videos now of us recording in the studio, as well as some stories that Jay Otis would have recorded in the past are now up there and available for listening. If you would like to listen to this program again, please visit our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and look for the title, Where Do We Go From Here? To contact the Voice of Hope or to submit a gift, call us at 866-960-0292 or send it by mail to the Voice of Hope, 6183 Lincoln Highway, Harrisonville, Pennsylvania, 17228. Your prayers are needful, and your gifts are always welcome. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and generous financial support, will enable us to work together to win the world for Jesus. Be sure to join us the next time for the Voice of Hope, as I and J. Mark have a discussion on some of the common questions surrounding our Mother's Day and Father's Day episodes. If you haven't heard them, you can go to our website and search for them as well.
Boom, 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 boom. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work while the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. The stars with labor, rest come sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Sunset skies, while their bright tints are